parenthood has devolved over the yugas and the centuries of Kali Yuga as well. You know, marriages for until about the 12th century were all arranged. They weren't love marriages. The idea of a love marriage only came in with the troubadours and the minnesingers in Europe. And all marriages before that were part of a dharmic coming together. And the vows that were taken were to treat each other, the spouses, as manifestations of God in the masculine and feminine forms. And the whole purpose was to raise a divine child. And there were no ego. The ego hadn't come in. Even in Kali Yuga, the ego was, especially in India, there was very little ego, because ego grows with the more decisions that the social order puts in the hands of the individual. And there were almost no individual decisions to make in the ancient world. Your profession was determined by whatever family you were born into, and whether you were the first son or the second or the third. And if you were a daughter, you would be married off to whoever the family considered to be appropriate as a match that would have important political effects for the clan and the whole tribe and the kingdom. But it was all decided by others. And one's life was much simpler. There was no job, there were no unemployment, they were taken care of from cradle to grave, even in the feudal system, which descended from that original order. There was no need for life insurance or health insurance or anything. All of that was taken care of by the social order. So the ego didn't have to worry about its own future. It didn't have to be thinking. All of the mental chatter, if you think about all of it, if you were in a feudal or ancient world culture, there wouldn't be any of those kinds of thoughts. So life was much simpler and much more oriented toward God. And that's what life was about, fulfilling the will of God, nothing else. So having a child was part of that, of the divine fulfillment for most women, let's say, motherhood, but not all. A woman could also become a sadhu, a sannyasi, follow the life of a nun in the West, but it was still either way a life dedicated to God. So you have to understand there was no secularity, there was no sense of the child being in any way out of the care of God, and that the humans were simply there as, in a way, foster parents, because each child was a child of God, and the parents were there to support the godliness and the virtue and the nobility of the child, but not to try to influence it with their own fantasies and desires. None of that was there. So it was a very different environment to raise a child in than we have at the end of Kali Yuga. So all I can say now, to shorten this, is that the best thing that a woman can do, or a couple can do, hopefully there's a couple involved, is to live as spiritual lives as possible, and to treat the child with as much reverence and full attention and time and care that is possible, and not to project any shadow elements onto the child, which unfortunately happens very easily. And so there has to be a constant purification, especially of the mother, but the father's energies as well, because it's very easy to get frustrated with a baby who has to be, you know, who wakes up in the middle of the night and wakes you up. you will never get any sleep for the first year of the baby's life, you know, right? There's so much sacrifice that has to happen. And that goes on for many years, usually up to about 40 years now, where the parents are totally having to be the slave of the children. And it has to be done without frustration, anger, hatred, or passion, or wanting to hold on to the child for their own neediness, etc. But a truly dharmic child raising. So I hope that's useful.